Thank you to Marie and to so many others of you for sharing with our community this Lent God's enduring faithfulness in your life, in your story. They are a gift to hear. We do, like Marie said, want to commit our ways to God, to trust that God hears, that God acts. And so we regularly turn and return to the narratives of Scripture and our own stories to listen, to remember, to reorient, and to recommit our ways to God's. And so, beloved, as we prepare to listen to God's word to us today, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord God, through the reading and proclamation of your word, help us to know your ways. Lead us and teach us your paths, for you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long. Amen. Beloved, this Lent we are joining the psalmist in practicing Selah, pausing amidst the full range of our human experience and bringing our whole selves to God. Our psalm today captures one of the most raw and authentic experiences in our life and in the Psalms, asking for God's help when all around and within us is darkness and despair, when the source of our distress is inexplicable and unfair, when we feel utterly alone and unheard, when even God seems silent and absent. Our psalm today is a prayer from the pit, a prayer that's both uncomfortable and comforting in its authenticity. And this is precisely why we need it. At some point or other, this prayer has been or will be ours, and we need to know that we're not alone in it. So listen now to Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like those who have no help, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. Selah. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eyes grow dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise you? Selah. Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Avadan? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your saving help in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am desperate. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dread assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. From all sides they close in on me. You have caused friend and neighbor to shun me. my companions, darkness. Most of us have probably never read Psalm 88, much less heard it preached on. It's not part of the Revised Common Lectionary, the 3-year cycle of scriptures that guide the worshiping life of so many of our churches. We don't sing settings of it in our worship. It doesn't find its way into our Psalms devotionals or into our greeting cards. I've never read it at the bedside of a dying person, or sent it to someone in the depths of depression. And yet it's representative of the many prayers in the Psalter and in our own lives. Of the 150 Psalms in Israel's prayer book, nearly 1/3 are Psalms of lament, cries when things have gone terribly wrong, when we've exhausted our measured plans and prayers, and when we need God to act now. Psalm 88 is the prayer of one whose humbled petitions have hardened into rage. It's the prayer of one who's played the tape over and over again in her head and cannot find an explanation or an excuse for why God would allow this. It's the cry of one who's patiently prayed night after night, day after day, for God to speak, to show up, to act. But God remains seemingly silent, distant, unmoved. Psalm 88 is the desperate attempt of one trying to bargain with God. I can't praise you if I'm destroyed, O Lord. But with no hope that even this will capture God's intention. We don't read or preach on this psalm or those like it in the church, but we know this prayer from the pit because we've prayed it. When the treatments aren't working and there's nothing more the doctors can do. When we've looked everywhere for work and the checks in the mail are almost all used up and we don't know where to turn next. When violence upon violence is inflicted upon bodies of color and our minds, our bodies, our spirits just can't withstand another blow. When the depression and loneliness that has ebbed and flowed for months over us and we feel like we're now being swallowed up in the darkness. We don't read or preach on Psalm 88 in the church. So many of us have been forced to wonder and ask ourselves, are prayers like this not allowed in church? Not allowed before God? The presence of Psalm 88 suggests that perhaps it isn't God who shuns these prayers, but us. Because most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, prefer not to pause here. It's painful. It's uncomfortable. It's bad theology. The biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann calls Psalm 88 an embarrassment to conventional faith because it portrays a God who doesn't seem to answer and a supplicant who won't seem to budge. For most of us, these two can't coexist, or at least not for long. Either God must respond to our pleas, or we must surrender to God's will. Any sustained tension between the two is painfully uncomfortable because it demonstrates a lack of faithfulness either on God's part or on ours. But in Psalm 88, God's silence and the psalmist's relentless petition don't lead to faithless rejection of God or by God, but to deeper engagement with God. In the midst of the darkness and silence, the psalmist addresses and listens to God more intensely, petitions God more urgently, questions God more fervently. The prayers from the pit aren't faithless, They are the essence of faithfulness. In them, we turn expectantly to God, not away for salvation. Here is the great irony that the psalmist understands, but we often struggle to. We lament and petition not despite our relationship with God, but because of it. The psalmist understands this because she is deeply rooted in the biblical tradition of covenant. The psalmist knows that she is part of a covenant community stretching back to the first patriarchs and matriarchs of faith. She knows that long ago, God committed God's loving faithfulness to God's people, and God's people continue to respond by committing their loving faithfulness to God. The result is mutual relationship. God's people are expected to trust and obey, but God is also expected to be trustworthy and good. Within this covenantal relationship, God's people are allowed to question and even call into question God's behavior. We see this throughout the Hebrew Bible. Abraham argues and bargains with God. Job brazenly questions God. Jacob literally wrestles with God. And this act comes to define the very identity of his descendants, of God's people, Israel, those who strive with God. The psalmist understands herself to be part of Israel's long-standing covenant community, and that shapes how she comes to God. To be part of a covenant community is to be part of an intimate relationship in which we expect God to bring God's whole self to us, God's faithfulness and goodness, God's mercy and justice. And God invites us to bring our whole selves before God, our trust and obedience, as well as our questions and laments. Because we're part of a covenant community, we can bring our authentic selves, angry and despairing, desperate and even bargaining before God, knowing that the bonds of mutual commitment can bear the strain and discomfort of it all. But there are times when we are so deep in the pit that we can't even drag ourselves before God to cry out for help. Our gospel reading for today tells the story of a paralytic. We don't know much about the paralyzed man, but I suspect that over the years he had prayed his fair share of prayers from the pit. In a time when physical disabilities were often considered punishment for sin, I suspect this man cried out to God, lamenting God's wrath on his life, petitioning God for delivery, for salvation. Day after day, year after year, he prayed until perhaps he could pray no longer. But this man was not alone. He was part of a covenant community. Listen to Luke 5, verses 17 through 26. One day, while Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down on his bed through the tiles in the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and Pharisees began to question, "Who is this speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, I say to you, stand up, take your bed, and go to your home. Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Covenant community is not only what we have with God, it's also what we have with one another. When the paralyzed man is incapable of coming before God with his petition, his companions bring him to the feet of Jesus. And it's ultimately their faith that brings salvation and healing in his life. There are times in our lives, like in our gospel passage for today, when we rely on members of our covenant community to bring us to the feet of Jesus. All of us have companions like this. People who, when we're in the pit and can't get up from our bed, come to us and carry us into the very presence of God. This is the gift of covenant community. Not only our authentic relationship with God, but our authentic relationships with one another. Covenant community invites us to be vulnerable, to pause, even in the darkness, in the disappointment, in the despair, and to share it authentically with our God and our community. It's painful, it's uncomfortable, but it's honest and faithful. It's interesting that Jesus commands the healed man to not only stand up and walk, but to stand up, take his bed, and go on his way. It seems like a strange thing to tell a healed person to do this. Be sure to take your sick bed with you. Why on earth would this healed man want this particular souvenir? Why would Jesus give this strange instruction? Maybe it's a way of showing that the paralytic is so healed that he can not only get up and walk, but he can also lift and carry things. Or maybe it's just the thoughtful recognition that this man will still need something to sleep on, even now that he's mobile. Or maybe it's pragmatic. It's a crowded room. Jesus needs the space, so take that thing with you, will you? But I think there's more to it than that. The paralytic's life would never be the same again. He was carried in at the beginning of the day, but now he carries and carries on. But take your bed with you, Jesus instructs. Perhaps Jesus' directive here is to remember where we've lain. There was a time you once made your bed in the pit. Don't forget. Take your story, Jesus says, your whole story with you. Your healed legs and renewed strength, yes, but also your sick bed. Because there are others who are lying in the pit, and they need someone to authentically meet them there and bear them to God's healing presence, just as was done for you. Friends, this is the gift of covenant community, that we can share our whole selves authentically with God and others, not at the risk of the relationship, but because of and for the sake of the relationship. Beloved, I pray that we can be a church, a covenant community that doesn't rush past the darkness of the pit, but pauses and dwells there with God and one another. That when one of us can't bring ourselves to God, others step in and faithfully bear us to the very feet of Jesus. So that together, we might be a people who carry our beds with us, sharing with one another our stories of healing and deliverance without overlooking the real pain of our sickbeds. In just a few minutes, we'll have the opportunity to practice Selah, to pause and bring our whole selves before God. As you read the introductory verses of Psalm 88 on the slide, I invite you to bring your own cries of lament and petition before God, or carry those of someone else into God's presence. Let's pause, even in the darkness, resting in the covenant community we have with God and one another. Amen.